Luke chapter 18, we have been looking at the supply of the Spirit through prayer. Supply of the Spirit through prayer. And the reason why we crafted the title that way is so that we can understand that there's a role and a part that we have to play when it comes to how the Spirit of God operates on the surface of the earth. The supply of the Spirit through prayer. There's a role that you and I have to pray. And so, in checking through the scriptures, particularly the Gospels, Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, "And they speak a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." That men ought always to pray and not to faint. So last week we saw the parable of the unjust church. And our emphasis is on that first verse. Jesus is trying to communicate a particular truth. And that truth is this, that men ought always to pray and not to give up. Now, obviously, if certain things could take place without prayer, that scripture would not be necessary. There are certain things, in fact, many things, that God can only do as we pray. And so, you know, the Bible says the entrance of his word gives light and gives what? Understanding. So as we gaze into God's word, it helps us to understand what our role is in the place of prayer, what God's role is in the place of prayer, and thank God for our salvation in Christ Jesus and the instructions that we have in the epistles. It has been given to enlighten us a little bit, to remove our minds from traditional mindset with respect to what makes prayer work and how prayer functions. But Jesus is saying something very important. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now in John's Gospel, who is Jesus again? John's Gospel and chapter 1. Because it's important that we understand who is saying, always making that statement, it will carry more weight. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men." Verse 14, "And that same Word, which is God, became flesh. And what? Dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only God the Father, full of grace and truth." So notice the Word, that is God himself, put on flesh, and we beheld his glory. The word glory also means fullness and splendor. So we beheld his glory. Then John chapter 14, look at what Jesus said in John chapter 14, and I read from verse 7. "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him, and you have what? Seen him." Notice, if you had known me, you will have known the Father also. Or to know me is know the Father. To know me is know the Father. That's what it means. So, again, let me say it this way again. Many times, we are trying to understand who God is, what God does outside of Jesus. And that's where we end up in error. If you had known me, you will have known my Father also. So, Jesus is God explaining himself in human terms. Jesus is God explaining himself in human terms, even with human conduct. This is important that you understand. Because again, if we don't have that understanding, we will not be able to come to some conclusions and are important for us to come to when it comes to theology, or so to speak, the understanding of God. So if you had known me, you will have known my Father also. From henceforth you have seen him. So because you have seen me, you have seen him. Hallelujah. Because you have seen him, you have seen me. So, or seen him, rather. So, look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. And then we want to go through all this again because the foundation is important. Again, it is when we are praying that we recognize certain ways in which we have thought that may be contrary to what the Bible reveals. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 3, I read from verse 16. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Let's say it this way, without argument, there's a general consensus that the mystery concerning godliness is great. Everybody agrees that the mystery concerning godliness is great. So without controversy, great is mystery of godliness. As a result, God was manifest where? In the flesh. That's important. So because the mystery concerning godliness is great, God became manifest in the flesh. So when you hear the word mystery means that which is awaiting explanation. So without controversy, great is that which awaited explanation concerning God. So as I read Genesis of Malachi, there are certain things that require explanation. Because I'm looking at the interaction of God with men, and men with God, and men penning down what they understand about God. And so without controversy, everybody understands that there are many things concerning the God-man interaction and the man-God interaction that requires explanation. That's important. And because of that, God became manifest where? In the flesh. Hallelujah. So when we look at the ministry of Jesus, it is God who has become flesh, or God who has become a man to interact with man on the same plane of man. Hallelujah. He is not less God, he's still God, but he has become a man. He can be seen, he can be touched, he can be handled. We can see his activities, yet he's still God. Hallelujah. Yet he's still God. So when we understand that, when we trace the activity of Jesus through the four Gospels, we're able to understand certain things about God. He that has seen me has seen the Father. He has seen the Father. I am God manifest in the flesh. So whatever it is you couldn't understand about God, when you view me, when you see me, you are seeing all that you need to understand about God when you see me. So, Luke chapter 6. Remember, it is asking Jesus that said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Where is Christ now? Where is Christ now? Where is Christ now? I don't know. Believers in your mumbling. Where is Christ now? So why were you sitting before? Where does the Father dwell now? Okay. Who do you pray to? Okay. Who do you pray to? Where is Father dwelling now? Amen. Okay. So let me read something before I go on. Luke chapter 6. verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer. Let me say it again. It came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. So Jesus recognizes the necessity of sometimes leaving the crowd and the multitude and looking for a solitary place to pray. Somebody said that, can't I pray just anywhere? Look at Jesus. Jesus didn't think you can pray anywhere. Jesus didn't think, even though he's God, he cannot be distracted. Jesus went into a mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer. And Jesus wasn't praying about car or houses. He wasn't praying about promotion. He wasn't praying about career. And he continued all night. How? In prayer. What is the Jewish all night? It is 6 to 6. That's 12 hours. And the word continue means to persist. And he continued all night in prayer. So obviously, if Jesus continues, if I look at the next nap, and when it was day, he called unto him disciples, and of them he chose 12. So why did he go and pray? He wanted to choose disciples. How long did he pray when he came to pray for men? He prayed all night. How long is all night? He prayed 12 hours. And when he finished praying, one of them still betrayed him. We usually the prayer didn't work. No, it worked. He continued all night in prayer. So obviously, the prayer of Jesus could not have been about persuading God. No. This is, so to speak, permit me, God talking to God. But you can see a man talking to God because God doesn't pray. But God in man will pray. So Jesus is showing you that even when God becomes a man, God knows it is given to men to pray. Hallelujah. Now, it's important that you understand this. This is perfection. Sinless. Innocent. And he prayed all night. And he persisted in prayer. To show you that prayer is not a function of imperfection. Neither is it a function of the fall. Neither is it a function of sin. Mm-mm. If there was no sin, there would still be prayer. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Jesus, God in the flesh, perfection itself, he prayed. Why did he need to persist? He was dealing with men. He was operating among men. Was he trying to persuade God? Couldn't be. So it was obvious that God expects that when you are a man, and as long as you are a man, prayer is a necessary exercise if you are going to make any headway among men. Glory to God. You know, I often say this. If God could come in and do anything at any time the way he likes it, I don't think the prophetess Anna will have spent years laboring in prayer. For there is prophecy of Isaiah to come to pass, and the virgin shall conceive and give birth. No. You know, required years and months of prayer for there to be enough prayer cover for the angel Gabriel to come to both Zechariah and Mary. He did. To be able to deliver that utterance, that prophecy. A virgin shall give birth is what Isaiah said. The specific virgin that will give birth needs to be prayed into position to accept. You think it was just under him that Mary will say, be it unto me according to your word. You don't know what it means to say that to what God is proposing. He is that our highly favored. The Lord is with thee. And you know, you are about to be thrust into shame. To be questioned, to be queried. How many people are you going to go around explaining to? I didn't do anything more alone. This is the glory of God. You can see, it's really the glory of God. The way your tongue is bulging, this is the glory of God. It's obvious there's nothing else but the glory of God here. And you are not allowed to go and explain to anybody. I did this, you were like this for 9 months. What will you tell your parents? Who invested in you, trusted you? Say, I should have disgraced me. And I'm a village. For how to say, be it unto me according to your word. Prayer had gone ahead of time. Anna was praying. Simon was praying. They were waiting for the consolation of Israel. Who was that consolation? God will become a man. And for him to become a man, somebody has to accept the prophecy and conceive in a womb. A man will give back to God, so to speak. God prayer. Was it about persuading God? No, that's God's master plan. And God is saying, what I want to do, I can't do except a man is praying. I'm going to do it in the arena of men. So prayer cannot be about persuading God. Remember, we're looking at supply of the spiritual prayer. Because you and I will realize as we go on that, God is counting much more on us to get the results we're trusting him for than most of us think. He's counting much more on us to get that result than most of us think. Yes, we pray to God the Father. But when we say we pray to God, sometimes I think in our mind, we're here, is there. The one that is inside of you. To pray to God actually means to pray through God. God is not a prayer collector. Just collect prayer. Say, pray more. The cup is not full. When you pray more now, I will now answer you. It's not that he's waiting to see how diligent you are in prayer, though. Your diligence in prayer is causing a change. And the change is not on God's side. Look at what Jesus said. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And in the equation of that prayer, God was not even directly involved. It was an unjust judge. He now tells you when God is involved, if the prayer is about God responding, it says God will answer speedily. He will avenge speedily. But why did it take some time? There was an unjust judge. So if the woman had given up, she would have said God didn't answer. But the person that didn't really respond was an unjust judge. So Jesus was trying to say that when it comes to men persisting in prayer, the persistence is not about persuading God, because that's what most men think. The persistence is to deal with hindrances that are around you so that there can be enough supply of God's power to quench and to silence and to deal with every single issue. Hallelujah. Let me say it this way again. Someone say, Pastor, there's nothing God cannot do. All I just good is just give God thanks. Thanksgiving is good. But thanksgiving is not this kind of praying. Thanksgiving is not the supply of the Spirit. I usually say it this way. When it comes to prayer, what you have not said, you have not said. What you have not prayed, you have not prayed. Must I pray for 3 hours? How long will it take to get everything in position, to get men in position, to change the will of men, to get the right person on the seat? How long will it take? Only God can answer that question. But the person you are dealing with in the place of prayer is not God. Rather, you are partnering with God to get the desired results. Hallelujah. And let me say, you know, life will be so simple if in the place of prayer, the only person we have to deal with is God. I had a wonderful testimony. I think it happened last week. One of us here, somebody was coming to Lagos, and the person was kidnapped. On the road, was kidnapped. And the kidnappers were looking for who they can call to demand a ransom. So the only phone number they found was, the last person he communicated with was a member of this church. And so they called him, said that we are demanding for this amount of money, some number of 50 million or something like that. This is, you know, that's the crazy thing they do now, just at home. And of course, on the phone, you could hear them, beating them and dealing with them, he and the other people. They kidnapped people in the old bus. So the person, our member here, was saying that I did not even know what to say. I just started speaking in tongues on the phone with the kidnapper. So the person collected me and was like, wait, what is he saying? Give it to the boss. What are you saying? He started speaking in tongues. And when he couldn't hear what they were saying, he caught the phone. The person that was kidnapped, he has been released without paying a dime. Let me tell you what happened. After he caught the phone, the tongues continued with the kidnappers. So the boss asked them, and he continued, said 30 minutes, the tongues continued, and the other person has caught the phone. Who do you think was speaking? Which voice were they wearing? The voice of the person who called. Who was using that voice? God. The head of the kidnapper said that there's something fishy about this. Go and return him. If I return everybody, take them back to the room. Just take everybody back. There's something about this. Just return them back. Now, that is an illustration of the person was praying. God used that prayer to work deliverance. Question, if he didn't pray, what would happen? You would not say he was traveling. God did not come. No, God came. Man failed. More often than not, there's a failure on man's part. When I asked him, where's the guy now? He said, he has gone back. So how did he go? Say, by flight. But the miracle was that the power of God arrested them. The tongues continued. I caught the phone. That's supernatural. That's the power of God. But what was man's part? He began to speak in tongues. So God uses our prayer cover to do most of his activities on the earth. Because those activities are in the midst of men who have a will, much more they have a right. Hallelujah. You know, it's always amazing when people still ask questions. Oh no, they kill so-and-so, person, so-and-so. That person went to what? They kill person. That person asked, hey, what is God even doing? He's looking for men that will pray. I sought for a man among them. I sought for a man among them. God is not flesh and blood. God is a spirit. Every spirit, including Satan, they are limited in what they can do on the earth. Every one of them needs a man. Satan has those who sacrifice to him. It empowers him. God has those who pray in his name so that his power can go all over the earth. Can go all over the earth. So when Jesus said, men ought always to pray, then he demonstrated it. He prayed all night. And if he prayed 12 hours and was talking to God, it wasn't that he was making a demand of God. In those 12 hours, he was dealing with present, past, and future issues by the supply of God's Spirit. There will be a Peter that will hand over the church to. There will be a Judas, and yet the gates of hell will not prevail. There will be a James and John. There will be each of them. It was after that he came down to pick them. You think as God, and someone who has supernatural sight, he wouldn't have known of their failures and weakness. And yet he could carry out his plan using them in their frailties. And yet God's wisdom still played out despite the frailties of men. He spent 12 hours praying to pick them. You think the realm just change? No. 3.5 years. Imagine when you are close to fulfilling your plan. They are discussing who will take over. They are discussing how you take over power, how you commit coup. Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Won't you feel like your ministry is a failure? I'm talking about heavenly things you are talking about. So, who is the next king? Are you not the Messiah, the promised king? They sang Hosanna, Hosanna for you the other day. When are you coming to take over so we can have political positions? I will refer to the prime minister. And Jesus was looking at them. 3.5 years of ministry. And you think my kingdom is an earthly kingdom? These are the people we were praying for. What would you think? You wouldn't feel like, I think I need to go and pray again. Or the prayer failed. When it comes to the arena of men, we persist in prayer because we're dealing with men and we're dealing with forces. We're dealing with men and we're dealing with forces. Everything God wants to do comes into operation as long as you pray, provide that atmosphere, that arena where prayer is constantly ongoing. No one in language, men ought always to pray. Ought always to pray. And that's why you notice something. Look at Acts. I'm going to read Acts chapter 9 first. I'm going to read from verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the street and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Notice, he prayeth. Here's the interesting part. We're not told what he prayed about, but he prayeth. How long was Paul praying? 3 days and three nights. 3 days and three nights. 3 days and three nights. The hand of God was upon him, and that hand of God was upon him enabled him to pray, and yet he was praying for 3 days and three nights. If the hand of God is upon you, and you're praying, and he enables you to pray for 3 days and three nights, since it is the hand of God that's upon you, is enabling you to pray, it means that though the hand of God is upon you, that prayer is still necessary for God wants to do. How many of you have something like this? Let me say it again. If the hand of God is upon you to enable you to pray, it tells you that whatever God wants to do, he can't do without you praying. He can't. It will still require you to pray for it to be done. Now, see, he prayed. What was he praying about? We don't know. But look at what happened next. He had seen. Okay? Look at what it says. And he had seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. So Jesus, the Lord of, head of the church, appeared to this man as he prayed and showed him a vision. As he prayed. What does God want to do? He wants Paul filled with the Spirit. He wants Paul accepted in the body. How will he do it? He got Paul praying. When Paul was praying, what did Paul see? Jesus showed him a man that will come so that he might regain his sight and be full of the Spirit. So what is God doing? He's carrying out his will, but he's doing it under the cover of prayer. In other words, there's a supply of the Spirit because someone is praying. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Syria called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Tanaban, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God. How many times? And prayed to God how many times? How often? Always. Okay, so, and he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour. When in the ninth hour? 3 p.m. in the afternoon. But he prayed to God always. So, in his activity of praying, it was easy for an angel to be made manifest for him to see. Now, let me say something. Whether you are born again or not, men ought always to pray and not to faint. This is important. This is not just for a born-again experience. The born-again experience has a lot to do with you and I, through the leading of God on the inside now, there's a supply of the Spirit as we pray. But notice what happened. He prayed always. He kept prayer watches. First watch, second watch, third watch, about the third hour of the day. Or the, so notice what it says. It says the ninth hour. That's what? That's 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Because their day starts at 6 a.m. So 3 p.m. in the afternoon, night out of the day, that's what you call the fourth watch. So the first watch is 6, second watch is 9, third watch is when? 12, and the fourth watch is when? So that's how they keep watches. A prayer watch. So Cornelius was following the law of Moses. He kept a prayer watch. In the fourth watch that he was keeping, because he had consistently created room for the things of the Spirit, an angel was made manifest. Hallelujah. Now, why are we reading that in the book of Acts? So let us see the importance of prayer with respect to God's plans and purposes. Glory to God. The importance. We were here in church, I don't know how many years ago, but it's been quite a while now. I don't think he was here. I think he was probably in Arunon. I think we were praying with midweek service. We were praying. We were traveling in prayer. And we were praying, and then suddenly a burden was rolled upon us. And that's part of supplications. When the burden to pray for a particular thing comes upon you. And it is people who are giving to prayer regularly who don't wait until they have a prayer point to pray that have a tendency to pick up burdens. A burden is what you call like a supernatural anointing that can only be discharged as you pray. It's like what is on God's heart rolled onto your heart. God sees somebody in danger. God sees somebody in need. God sees somebody about to take his life. God wants to turn that person's life around. God can't just go and intervene. God needs someone who is a man like that person to pray so that whatever God wants to do, God can do. Hallelujah. Yeah. That happens all the time. So we're praying, and then we pick up the body. We began to groan and travail, And shortly afterwards, I think, I heard that my brother had an accident at somewhere in Ujelegwa that was on a bike and he was hit by a car. And said that he cannot walk. They're taking him to the hospital. From similar nowhere, I just said he can walk, he just doesn't know yet. Why did I say that? I knew that was what we had prayed about. I said he can't walk, he just doesn't know yet. So afterwards, some minutes after, he called me himself. I said, where are you? He said, I'm on my way home. I said, what happened? He said, I'm fine. But the people at the scene were the one who picked up the call. Ah, the car has hit him and the bike. He cannot walk. We're taking him to the hospital. I said, he can't walk. He doesn't know yet. Now, what normally would have happened was that he wouldn't have been able to walk because of the impact and everything. But because we are taking care of it in the place of prayer. Now, did God want to rescue him? Yes. But there was a people praying to effect the rescue. There's a difference. So, we bridge the gap between the will of God and that will actually being done. That's what we do in a place of prayer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let me say it this way. This is why, as we pray, we're in partnership with God to sort out issues, to settle God's will in the lives of men. We're in partnership with God. We're not trying to persuade God. When we say we are praying to God, really what we are doing is that we're praying through God to effect the will of God in different situations and circumstances that we find ourselves in or that we find men in. That's what we're doing. So it's never about persuading God. Yes, the Bible says, unto him that answers prayer shall all men come. How does he answer? More often than not, as men pray. Men are on the earth. The heart is given to men. The flow of God's grace through men who begins to shape events and turn situations around so that the will of God can be done. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. So, when you are praying, realize this. God is counting on your prayer as a cover, so to speak, and as his influence in every given situation. Hence, if God is going to keep being active upon the earth, men will always have to pray. Men will always have to pray. Men will always have to pray. I had this particular testimony from Kenai again. They were in the prayer meeting early morning, and as we were praying also, they were just praying. Now, and that's one of the ways it comes, as you give yourself to praying. Somebody says, what are you praying about? That's not the question they ask in the church. Because the church simply just prays as a lifestyle. You know, this thing about having a prayer point is the reason why people pray for physical, temporal things more than spiritual things. There are so many things to pray for that are spiritual that you can't exhaust them. If you go through Pauline prayers from beginning to end, you start again. If all you are praying is Colossians 4:12, you cannot finish. He is praying that you may stand perfect and complete. How many of you are standing perfect and complete now? So it's not something you can exhaust. You can't keep praying. If I'm going to pray for prayer, so I may do 3 hours, then I'll continue tomorrow. I will rest. Why? 3 hours doesn't cover everything. Because men have a will. You know, and that's one of the reasons why if we pray more for one another, there will be less strife among us. There will be less offenses among us. There will be less cases of unforgiveness. The person that's walking in the flesh, before you murmur and complain, have you prayed for the person? Have you prayed for the person to walk straight? You are seeing so much flesh. Yet the person that you are dealing with is still the workmanship of God created where in Christ Jesus. Maybe the reason why you have not seen that workmanship is because we have not prayed for the person. The more you pray, the more you see the workmanship come up. The less you pray, the more you see flesh manifest. Jesus spent 12 hours praying to just pick 12 men among several men who were following him. He spent 12 hours praying. That means when it comes to praying for men rather than things, we spend more time. Because men have a will. Hallelujah. Men have a will. At the end of this month, now we're going to come together for a prayer meeting. The bulk of what we're going to pray for is for the saints, isn't it? Not for things, for the saints. We're going to pray for spiritual growth. We're going to pray that they will stand perfect and complete. You know? We're going to pray that they will feel knowledge of God's will. We're going to pray that they will step fast and immovable. We're going to pray that they will remain servant, isn't it? We're going to pray that way. We're going to pray that they will walk in the fullness of God's counsel for their lives. We're going to pray that they stay vulnerable to God's power and to God's word. We're going to pray that they stay yielded to the Spirit. We're going to pray for service. We're going to pray that the word of God will have free course. We're going to pray that ministers and pastors will be bold to speak as they ought to speak. Why do we keep praying that prayer? Because that you prayed it before doesn't mean it is over. It's a prayer you keep praying as long as the church is in existence. You don't exhaust such prayers. Hallelujah. You don't exhaust such prayers. You don't. As long as there's daily interaction, you keep praying and keep praying because you cannot exhaust that interaction. You can't. Glory to God forevermore. You can't. Acts chapter 10. Taking a look at Peter and verse 10. Where we just read Acts 10 from verse 1, we saw Cornelius as he prayed. Look at verse 10. And this is Peter now, verse 9. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew down to the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray. About the sixth hour, Apostle Peter also kept prayer watches. He kept prayer watches. When is sixth hour? 12 p.m. Somebody says he became hungry. It's okay to be hungry by 12 p.m. That's, you don't know whether he has anything that day, but he became hungry. But he was going up to pray. So being hungry and wanting to pray, there are two separate things. Hunger doesn't stop you from praying. Why they made ready? That's the man that is focused. Some of you, once you are hungry, prayer does not come again. Nothing else enters your head. When you go and lie down, when will this food be ready? You're counting the tiles on the ceiling. 1, 2, 3. When will they finish making food? Because they are hungry. When they were making food, Peter thought it necessary to pray. Why? It was the sixth hour. He kept prayer watches. It's already 12. Then Peter said, let me go and observe my prayer watch. And the minute he began to pray, the plan of God came in. In other words, as though God was waiting for him. In other words, as though as he yielded to prayer, what God wanted to do began to unfold. Divine visitations are usually a product of prayer. Divine visitations are usually a product of what? Prayer. Because it's in a place of prayer that God is able to say, do, and reveal all he wants to do. It's a place of prayer. It's in a place of prayer that God is able to say, do, and unveil all that he wants to do. It's a place of prayer. He wanted the Gentiles to hear the gospel. Cornelius was a doorway, the avenue to that. He was going to send Peter, a bigot, a man who was biased against the Gentile nation. He needed Peter's will to be submitted to his own. How will he do it? He will do it as Peter begins to pray. So as Peter began to pray, God was using that prayer to walk upon the will of Peter so that Peter can go and obey him to fulfill the Great Commission. Hallelujah. That's what he began to do. And as he began to pray, God came through the ministry of an angel to begin to speak to Peter as he began to pray. You can see this way, the minute he stepped to the prayer, it was as though that was the excuse God was waiting for. I think I shared, was it last week or the week before? Evan Kenny Higgins spoke about, how many of us have that book, The Triumphant Church? How many of you have read that book for The Triumphant Church? Ah. Okay, that's interesting. The Triumphant Church. And none of us have not read it here. Ah. Okay. Oh, you are coming to ministry class, don't worry. We'll soon make some of those things compulsory. Yes. We're likely to have ministry class next week. It's compulsory for all leaders. Amen. If you're a leader, it is compulsory. Family leader, departmental leader, it's compulsory. This particular session is compulsory. Don't worry, I'll only take two of your Saturdays. Only two. I'm a very kind person. I'll just take two. Then maybe in March, I'll take another two. Then maybe in May, another two. Or April, another two. I'm a nice person. I'm not like Pastor T. That we will leave you after every service. Can you say how kind I am? I'll just speak Saturday. Just 2 or 3 hours on Saturday. Is that not better than after service? The syllabus is much, that's why. And it's ministry class. And you must not sleep, amen. Because you are his minister. Yes. And what you are taught, you must be able to teach others. So you have to be very attentive. Amen. So I've given you advance warning now. So as we begin to pray, are you in Acts? Acts 22. Tonight I just feel like I was exhorting you to pray. And that's why more of what I'm saying, more of exhortation than just teaching. Because, brothers and sisters, this season that we are in, pray for no reason. Pray for reason. Pray without reason. Pray for no reason. Just pray. Don't wait for prompting. Prompt yourself. The days ahead of you, oh, there are things you need to see. Be like a naturally blind man who is waiting for God to lead him in prayer. You know, a blind man, usually, well, some of them, they are independent enough to go on their own, they have a stick. But those who have somebody lead them, by the way, spiritually speaking, a believer cannot see so far off. So if a believer has to trust the one who can see, which is God, he can see what will happen in 2026. And somebody you ought to meet in 3 months' time that will play a role in that place, isn't it? God can. So in the place of prayer, it will guide you and lead you out of certain relationships and guide you to another. It will close certain doors and open others. Now, if you don't know him and trust him, when a door is closed, you will stand before the door and cry. without knowing that that door, if it's not closed, you will not be able to reach out for the more that he has for you. Some relationships will terminate. And some of us will be grieved that it came to an end. And those relationships will play no role in the next season that God is. In fact, everything you prayed last year, November, that relationship has no place in that prayer. And so he's answering the prayer. And when he's answering the prayer, you are complaining. Because you're emotionally attached. But he came to answer that prayer. And the way to answer the prayer, that relationship must be severed. Laying aside every weight is a weight. And once you lay it aside, you're not happy, he knows you're not happy. But when you see the results, you'll be glad. Hallelujah. So it's that kind of time when you pray, seemingly for no, just pray. You don't have a prayer point in a very good place. Just pray. Let him give you what you're meant to pray about. It means as you wake up daily to pray, it will guide you and lead you and begin to open things up to you with respect to what to focus on per time. Just be available in the place of prayer such that it can, through you, channel its power to sort out any situation at any time. If you are too regimented and all you have is me, my family, my kids, my career, if that's all you do about prayer, you won't be flexible for God to use you. What was Peter praying here? That the Spirit of God could come through the voice of an angel and tell him, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat," and show him. Peter couldn't be praying about his career here. He was a fisherman. "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." What was the eating about? God trying to reveal to him, "Have a plan for the Gentiles, and it will have to come through you." The same God that I sent an angel to Cornelius and said that, "Send a man to Joppa. He will come and tell you what you ought to do." So the God that told Cornelius through an angel is now working on Peter also. How will it work on Peter? As Peter begins to pray. Let me ask again. Does that not tell you that God is simply using the avenue of prayer to work out his will through men? Peter needs to pray. Even in prayer, do you see how obstinate Peter was? He was arguing with the voice he heard. He knew it was divine. It was in a vision, actually a trance. A second highest kind of vision, a trance. Your physical senses are suspended, but Peter could still talk. No. We don't eat this kind of meat in our family. No, we don't eat frogs. Lizard is forbidden. This is unclean. And he said, whatever God has cleansed, do not call what? Unclean. But the bias was strong enough. So what was God doing in that vision while Peter prayed? He was changing Peter's heart and Peter's mind. So many times also, as the supply of Jesus is administered, God begins to change you on the inside so you can be fit for what he wants to do. Hallelujah. I still smile when I look back to 24 years ago. The last place I wanted to be in was Lagos. 20 years ago, when I had to come to Lagos, I felt betrayed. I was not happy. I'm glad God did not cause that my emotions. My friend, have you seen school children before? "Mommy, I don't want to go to school." "You will go. Whether you feel like, you don't feel like, you cry. You will still go." You've seen them before. If you're a parent, you feel bad that they are crying. But you know it's love for you to tell them, "You are going. You are going." But like that first day, they hold on to your trouser. "Don't leave me here. If you love me, don't leave me in this last. See these people. Look at their face. I don't know them. Don't leave me here." If you don't interact, you will not grow. You have to interact. All you are using is your mommy, your daddy, all your life. Now it's time for you to interact with other people. You will cry that first day. You will stop crying. You will soon stop crying. That's actually how it goes. So it's a sign of growing up, not a sign of being. So you say your mother's abandoned you. No, they didn't abandon you. They love you enough to know that you need this, you need to grow. And if they don't expose you, you will not grow. Even children who are homeschooled, they still have their challenges to face. I hope you know that. They still face the challenge. That's why most of them, very few of them have social skills. Because they've not interacted with people of their age regularly enough. So in the place of prayer, your bias, your bigotry, God begins to deal with it. Why? It's making you fit. "I didn't want to come. Now you have to persuade me to leave. Because where I'm coming from now, I like this place more than where I'm coming from." He knew I would like this place where I'm coming from, but at that point I feel like, why? I can't just stay in Ibadan. And his plan was not for Ibadan. Imagine that. That means I won't be seeing your faces now if I stay there. Fear God has abandoned me. No, he didn't abandon me. He had plans. Hallelujah. So in the natural, I didn't really like Peter. Did not want to have anything to do with Gentiles. But in the place of prayer, something happened to his heart. God began to adjust the heart. Look at verse 22. Chapter 22. Acts of Apostles chapter 22. Verse 17. And it came to pass that when I was coming into Jerusalem, even while I prayed where? In the temple, I was in a trance. Can you see that? Who is speaking, Paul? I was in a trance. Again, a trance is the second highest form of vision. Physical senses suspended. You can hear, you can see. You can hardly move. You see? And I saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. So in that vision, what was God's plan? Leave this place now. He said, make haste. And God doesn't exaggerate words. Make haste means leave now. And then he said, leave this place. They will not receive your ministry. And look at what Paul was saying. I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believe on him. And when the blood of the Matthias even was shed, I was also standing by and concerned unto his death, and kept the agreement of them that slain. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee what? Far hence unto thee. Gentiles. So he received clarity concerning what to do next. Did God want to reveal to him? Yes. How did he reveal to me? When he stepped over into place of prayer. So you can see, in that place of prayer, I welcome divine activity in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. I welcome divine activity in place of prayer. Now Philippians 1:19 again. For I know that this shall turn to my what? Salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So let me ask again, who is Paul writing to the church at Philippi? What did he say? I know. I know is a definite phrase. It's not missing words. It's not guesswork. Something will change. There will be a switch. I know this shall turn. Things will change. There will be a turnaround. It will favor me and be of benefit to me. It will be through your prayer. And I mean your prayer will minister a supply. A supply. So the supply of the Spirit is in your prayer. Now, that supply of the Spirit is coming from whom? From God. Who is administering it? The saints. How will they administer it in the place of prayer? Let me say it again. The supply of the Spirit is of God and from God. But who is going to administer it? The saints. How will they administer it in the place of prayer? On Sunday, do we want every sick person healed? I'm asking the question. Do we want every sick person healed? Do we want every afflicted to be set free? Do we want every sin encouraged and comforted? Do we want men to receive confirmations that would encourage them, that will produce supernatural assurance? Do we want that? How do we accomplish that? We pray for a supply of the Spirit. That supply will come through the ministers that will be used of God. That supply will affect saints to enable them to receive also. That supply will allow the activity of angels to walk freely through and through in our gathering to do the will of God and to, so to speak, minister the power of God. The same supply of the Spirit will accomplish all that. Who will administer it? We will, in the place of prayer. I know this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Go back to Acts and chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. I'm going to read from verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James the brother of John with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. And then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 companions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, let me say this. Look at the way it was phrased. Here's what you will assume. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. In other words, God deliver him. Isn't it? Isn't it? Now, put that somewhere. Let's go down. Look at verse 6. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chain fell off his hands. Notice the chain fell off by itself. See that? And the angel said unto him, guard yourself, and bind on your sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And they went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw what? A vision. Now, and when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out, and passed on through one seat, and fought with the angel, what? Departed from him. Look at verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, when he realized he was no longer a trance, that he actually was happening literally, now I know of a surety that the Lord has what? Sent his angel, and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from what? All the expectation of the people of the Jews. Now notice, prayer was made without ceasing of the church. Now, permit me to use this phrase. Who is the Lord that sent the angel? Okay, now let me say it that way. How did the Lord send the angel? Through the prayer of the saints. So, is it okay to say the prayer of the saints released angelic activity? Can we say the angelic activity is the supply of the Spirit? Okay, can we say that the angel would not have been able to, first of all, go past 16 soldiers? Number two, make them all fall asleep at the same time. You know what it means to make? It's like Navy SEALs. How many of you know Navy SEALs? American soldiers. Okay. So, highly trained. What is the likelihood that 16 of them will sleep at the same time? Except the supernatural power is at work. So, they slept at the same time. Number three, he was able to touch Peter physically. And this is a spirit being. And he touched Peter. To bridge the gap between the physical and the spiritual takes power. So he hit Peter. Peter got up. Then the chill from Peter's hands fell. Then Peter was able to obey the angel and follow him out. Then the gate of the city opened to them of his own word accord. Notice prayer was made without ceasing. Do you know that when Peter got to where they were still praying? That means from the time the angel appeared to the time the angel finished, the supply was going on. They supplied enough power until deliverance was wrought before the angel now left. Guess what they were still praying? Hallelujah. Prayer was made without ceasing. They supplied so much power, enough power to get the soldiers to fall asleep. Nobody was alert. To free Peter from the prison, for the doors start opening by its own accord. Peter got out. They got to the end of the city. None of the soldiers still woke up to raise any alarm. Or Peter was safely taken in. And they went to another place from that place. They were still praying. That means they just continued supplying power. They just continued. Hallelujah. Listen, and you say, Jehovah is answered. We have done 1 hour now. That's enough power to make God. No. It just continued. It just continued. The answer came. It just continued. They realized they must have missed it when it was time for James to be released. They're waiting for God to deliver. They didn't know the deliverance of God is in the church. So the Lord delivering Peter is a function of the prayer of the saints supplying enough for the angel to work with. Notice what they said. The Lord has sent his angel to deliver me from the expectation of all. So what was keeping Peter bound is more than just Herod. Herod had the political power, but the will of people was backing Herod. Let me say it again. Maybe you don't understand what it means. When they said from all the expectation, when many people are wishing you dead, you need to pray. Because the will of man is strong and potent. As I always say this, a person is sick, terminally ill. It looks like it's a good thing to send message to everywhere that they should pray for you to be well. But understand that there are some people you are sending to who are not spiritually schooled. They are already imagining your casket going to the ground. That's really why it's only those who are stakeholders and your immediate local assembly that should be involved in those kind of things. A lot of people believe that the more people pray for you, the only challenge is that you think many people are praying, many are not. Usually when you send a prayer, it's only few people that are praying. That's the truth of the matter. The church prayed, and they prayed without ceasing. We now know what it means to pray without ceasing. Even when it had been wrought, which they didn't know, they just continued praying. So Peter made them pray. We don't know how long they prayed. You could have been doing prayer shifts every 6 hours. Another set will come in. It just continued. And I was, we will pray until we see the results we are praying for. After all, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord encamped about that. The angel of the Lord, Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamped about that fame and what delivered them. How does deliverance work? Through prayer. They prayed. So the supply was so much, the angel was able to work the deliverance and release Peter. We don't know what else the power would have done. But it did enough until Peter was free. Hallelujah. The prayer we pray tonight can do enough for every man to receive a miracle, every man to receive a testimony, every man to believe, every man to be touched. Hallelujah. We can pray that nobody will be lukewarm this Sunday. We can pray that the hand of God will rest upon his servants so strongly that they will minister in the fullness of the offices, in the fullness of the Spirit. We can pray that way. We can pray that no sickness is permitted to come in and go out. Hallelujah. We can. We actually can pray that way. Glory to God. There's something about the power of God and expectation. When you place a demand on it, it's amazing the kind of results that you get. Let me say it this way again. Many times, there are situations and conditions we've gotten used to that we don't even mention again in prayer. So people are paying lip service to this statement. With God, nothing shall be impossible. You are just paying lip service. Your mind is not engaged. You are not thinking actively that, wait, if you say with God, nothing is impossible. And we know when we come here together in that kind of meeting, all kind of things go on. Then why am I not thinking this way? Because if you believe that with God, nothing shall be impossible, nothing is impossible, then you know that resurrection, that same resurrection power, can take care and sort out all things. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. You know, one of us who just gave birth, that's our New Year present here, on the 1st. If you know the story, you will know why it is worth celebrating. It was serious. It was more serious than a lot of people realize. I'm not going to say anything. I'll let them share their own testimony themselves. But if you know how much of God's power was made manifest, you will know that God is still a worker of miracles. That God is still working miracles. It's a working miracles. It's a working miracles. So there's something about we praying and there's enough supply. There's enough supply. We've had meetings here. And the difference between one meeting and the other is the supply of the Spirit. And notice when I say supply now, that includes the people that are in the meeting, their posture of their hearts, and what they are trusting God to receive includes that. The way the choir and the worship team will minister, the way the ministers will stand to minister under the power of God, God is always ready. But as we pray, no one else says pray without ceasing. As we pray, the gifts of the Spirit, the greater and more mighty manifestation of the Spirit, will begin to see them in operation. Begin to see them make mightily manifest. God is still the same God. He hasn't changed. The same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. Same. Yesterday, today, and forever. If he heals, he still heals now. He will see you tomorrow. Because he's a healing God. Whatever is needed in the meeting, we're going to pray, it will be made manifest. Encouragement, healing, deliverance, release, promotion, increase, whatever people need. Whatever they need in that same atmosphere, by the word of knowledge, by the gift of prophecy, by the word of wisdom, by the gift of special faith, by working of miracles, by design of spirits, by prophecy, diverse kind of tongues, interpretation of tongues, every and all the operations of the Spirit together, meeting needs, taking care of issues, habits that have held people down, people that ought to walk in the measure of God's grace and God's power, walk in line with God's will and God's counsel, who, one way or the other, they are not able to find themselves or to release themselves unto him. We pray that the power of God will break every yoke and every shackle and release them from every constraint, and they will find themselves walking in the fullness of all that the Father has planned for them. Hallelujah. That is saying that we pray that men will be drawn supernaturally. Every single meeting, men will be supernaturally drawn, east, west, south, and north of here. Angels will whisper in their ears that they need to be here, and they will come. They will be in attendance. You know, there are men that God wants to bless. If God can, through the angels, speak to Cornelius, send men to Joppa, that means God is the business of advertising himself, yes or no? I want to save you, but you have to send a man to Joppa. So the same way today now, God can arrange for certain people to be in the meeting because he wants to change their lives. How do we get that? We pray. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Let's begin to pray in the Holy Ghost.